Little Dire Straits there, Kyle. Get your toe tapping. You're listening to Terry Wickstrom Outdoors, presented by Jack's Outdoor Gear, 65 years and still going strong. Let's go to the phones, and joining us, a good friend of mine. His books are the gold standard for high country fishing. He has spent so much time hiking, documenting some of the high country in Colorado, and it's one of his favorite activities. You've also, before COVID, you used to see him at all the sports shows tying flies. He's an accomplished fly fisherman, Steve Schweitzer. Good morning, Steve.
Hey, good morning, Terry. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Did I say that just the way you wrote it?
Please.
No, it's all true. You're just a great resource for the fly fishing industry. Hey, you know, we got such an anomaly this year. We've got terrible dry weather over on the West Slope. We've got crowds on the eastern part of the state, and it's a lot of we've just got so many new anglers out there, and people are struggling to get that true fly fishing experience. And I've always felt that the real essence of fly fishing, the real experience, not that I don't enjoy going saltwater fly fishing or catching a 6-pound brown on a 4-weight or something, but getting up in the high country and getting both away from the heat and away from the crowds can really make it just a tremendous experience, can't it?
Yeah, and it also takes the pressure off of these lower altitude front range streams that are just too warm right now, and the fish in the high country don't necessarily feel that same stress in terms of the high water temperatures. So you're doing the ecosystem a favor too.
Well, a lot of those, the snow is just barely clearing off. I mean, it isn't that long that the runoff stopped at some of the highest. Now, how do you decide where to go? And do you go target a stream, a lake? I know we're going to get into your books here in a little bit, and those can be great guides. But overall, how do you start making those decisions if maybe you're not used to going to the high country?
Well, I do, like with most anybody that wants to plan a fly fishing trip, I'll go to my local fly shop and ask them a few questions about what they're seeing on their guide trips. And, of course, you got to think about patronizing those fly shops, buy a few flies, and out you go, and you get some good information. But this time of year, really, choosing any drainage that takes you up in the high country, you know, the St. Vrain drainage in the lower part of Rocky Mountain National Park, or the Fall River drainage that takes you up through near Trail Ridge Road. You just get a mile off the trailhead, you know, that's roughly in half hour's worth of hiking off the trailhead. You're in some high country water that definitely is fishing well right now. So,
and probably have a lot of that area to yourself. You talked about walking off the road a half mile. If you really only have to, and when you say hiking, it can be difficult terrain, but sometimes it's just a trail that's very easy to traverse, and you don't have to go 5-6 miles, a half mile, a mile, or even a little more maybe, but you can really find some seclusion, can't you?
Yeah. As a rule of thumb, 1 hour's worth of hiking is 2 miles from wherever you started. And that's typically what I call the magic circle, a 2 mile circle, where you hike 1 hour, and oftentimes it's just a walk, not even a hike. You pretty much have that stretch of stream or that lake or whatever you're going to. You have a big section of the shoreline or the stream to yourself. Might see a few other anglers, but they're not going to be in your way.
What do you approach differently when you go to the high country? Is your gear different than the average guy does in a stream, say on the South Platte? Or you can use the same gear, but you try to use a little different approach? And just how do you outfit yourself?
Yeah, so this time of year, I think an earlier segment you talked about hoppers. And as you think about early season hoppers, like a month ago, 6 weeks ago, when we're still into end of May, hoppers are small and they're very earthly colored. They're meant to not be seen and eaten by predators that might want them. But as they get older, they get bigger and they get more brightly colored as they get into their mating season, which will be at the end of the summer. So right now, hoppers would be mid-sized, and I believe we talked about size 8, size 10, maybe even size 12 on the small side of hook size, rather, for the hoppers. And then they start to get a little bit of a yellow or a lime green or even a faint orange color to their body. So you want to start transitioning. And then late in the summer, you want to get a full-colored big hopper, like a size 6, with a little more brightly colored abdomen. So that's the transition for hoppers. But right now, I focus on, and I've recently switched to a 10-foot, 3 or 4 weight for the high country. And the reason I do that is so I can reach across streams and hit the opposite bank, because, you know, as a fisherman, the fishing's always better on the opposite side, right?
Okay. Well, of course it is.
Yep.
And so you're talking about hopper droppers. I think one of the things, and I want to get onto your books before we run out of time. One of the things to take into consideration when you're doing high country fly fishing, especially if you're doing pocket water on these small rivers, most beginning fly anglers don't realize how big a presentation those small fish will come up and take.
Absolutely. Yeah. And the presentations are forgiving this time of year too. You can be a little more sloppy with your cast. I'm not saying actually slap the water. You don't want to do that, but things are falling off tree branches. Bugs are bigger, so they're going to hit the water with a little bit more impact. So dry fly fishing right now is just supreme in the high country. And this will happen clear through September with caddis and bigger mayflies like drakes, for example, up in the high country right now. Over riffles, most every day you'll see a drake hatch, and those are those mayflies that look like little sailboats, and they're kind of dancing over those riffles, going up and down in the air. And that's your clue to fish a drake. Calabatas are coming off right now. It's just on Spinney Mountain Reservoir yesterday, and the calabatas hatch was so thick that I actually ate a couple. They're everywhere. Not tasting.
How was the fishing at Spinney?
So fishing was really good. Catching was a little bit more difficult, but we did get some fish to the boat, including a 2-foot pike that decided to take a fly on us. So
now I want to switch to your books and other resources a little bit. Obviously, what you said about going to the fly shops, there's fly shops in every area of the state, and they keep track of their waters, and they can help guide you. One of the things we've been preaching all this year, because there's so many new people, is know before you go. Know what the conditions are, where you're going, and know your own abilities. Don't go beyond your ability, whether it's how far you can hike or how much you understand being out there, so you don't get in trouble, but also check what are the conditions where you're going. Now, you've written two books. You've written more than two, but two specifically that apply to this topic. And one's a Fly Fisherman's Guide to Rocky Mountain National Park, and the other one to the Indian Hills Wilderness Area. Tell us real briefly about those books.
Yeah, they're really meant to be hiking guides for fly fishermen or fly fisher persons, let's put it that way. The books are geared, each chapter is geared towards a drainage, and the chapter takes you up the drainage, provides maps, detailed descriptions on the water, whether it's a lake or a stream that you're going to face as you go up that trail system, and potentially some flies that really work well in those drainages.
And the photography in these books is just phenomenal. Steve's an excellent photographer who spent actually years on these drainages, photographing the areas and laying out the maps. Where are the books available, Steve?
Yeah, the best way to get the books right now is your local fly shop or on Amazon.com, and just search for the titles you just said or my name.
All right. Now, if you were going, I'm asking this to everybody today. If you're heading out this week, where would you go?
Well, funny you mentioned that. I am actually going up starting Monday on a 5-day backpack trip in Indian Peaks Wilderness Area, because the high country is just on fire right now, and I don't want to miss it.
No, you're right. It's one of the most incredible experiences. What about waders? Do you wear waders or do you dry wade?
No, I rarely even get in. I rarely get in the water. I'll just fish the banks, and you know, with a 10-foot rod, I can reach where I need to reach. I can also bust the wind in case the wind comes up and I'm fishing a lake. So I just wear hiking boots that are waterproof, and that does me.
A lot easier to hike than in a pair of waders, too. Steve, thanks for all those tips. Hopefully a lot of these new anglers will get your books, Fly Fisherman's Guide to Rocky Mountain National Park and Fly Fisherman's Guide to Indian Hills Wilderness, and it'll launch them not only in those drainages and those areas, but into an experience in fly fishing that's second to none in Colorado. Thank you, Steve.
Thank you. Take care.
You bet. Steve Schweitzer, author of Fly Tire. Just, you know, getting up in that high country. So the park is, Karen and I are going to head up to the park one day this week. It's one of our favorite areas. We're going to take a time out. When we come back, we're going to switch it up. We're going to have a couple segments on conventional fishing, both local ponds and then the walleye bite that's on fire right now in some of our metro lakes. All that and more coming up on Terry Wickstrom Outdoors on 104.3 The Fan.